بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 15th session for Arabic lessons in Hadith level 2 المستوى الثاني from the Islamic University Arabic language program. Again, today is our 15th session and our 15th Hadith. And as I mentioned previously, inshallah, we would like to review some of the hadith that we have taken already. We'd like to review some of those hadith in the beginning of each class or in the end, depending on how the time goes, you know, how much time we have in the beginning and the end. We're going to each week be trying to review the previous hadith that we have taken. And before the salah, informally, as some of the brothers and sisters came in early, we did do some review, and mashallah, few of the brothers, mashallah, recited here in front of us, and we have to commend Brother Nasir, mashallah. He recited, yani, during that review time, he recited the first 15 hadith, yani, straight through, from 1 through 15, including today's hadith. So, you know, we ask Allah to increase him in hifz and inaya and hirs, and that we all, yani, take an example from this, that it is possible to memorize these hadith. Okay, quickly, yani, because of the time, yani, is going to be running, it's not going to stop for us. Let's before we look at today's hadith, we want to take a few minutes to review some of the earlier hadith. We're just going to take a few minutes. If we can do, yani, 10 minutes of review. Actually, we already are 8 minutes into our class, so we might not take 10 minutes, but we're going to review some of the hadith. Anybody who wants to review with us, we're going to give you one hadith, inshallah, and we'll give you two or three shots at making a mistake, and then we're going to pass it to somebody else. Okay, so we're going to start with the first hadith, the hadith of Jabir, and then the second and third hadith from Abu Hurairah, and the fourth hadith from Anas ibn Malik. And the fifth and sixth hadith is from Uthman ibn Affan and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Seventh hadith from Abu Hurairah and so on. We're going to go like this, okay? Eighth, ninth, and tenth. Yani Abi Murthad, and then Abdullah ibn Masud, and then Uthman ibn Affan. We're going to try to do at least the first 10 hadith. Who would like to, yani, participate in this review? Quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's good, inshallah. Everybody take one hadith. Alright, so we're going to start with the first hadith. First, and here comes one more, inshallah, he'll be participating in this review. Get your book open and start looking at it. Right, we're going to start with the first hadith, the hadith of Jabir. Okay, Faiz, first hadith. Everybody should be looking at your book or reviewing it in your mind, one or the other. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رواه مسلم عن جابر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تأكلوا بالشمال فإن الشيطان يأكل بالشمال رواه مسلم. Second hadith. Who wants to take the second hadith? طيب مصطفى. Second hadith. Hadith of Abu Hurairah.
عن أبي هريرة.
We have a lot of Mustafas in these classes. Now.
عن أبي هريرة
رضي الله عنه
قال قال رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم
المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل
خير. نعم. That's added. It's not in the book, but we added those words. No. Yani, we didn't add them. I mean, those are part of the hadith. But the hadith is a long hadith, so we just gave, yani, a couple of extra words from the original hadith for the benefit of it. This hadith is reported by?
Rawahu Muslim.
Again, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, the Prophet ﷺ said, المؤمن الخوي خير وحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير رواه مسلم. Third hadith. نعم. Dawood. This hadith is reported by who? Anybody know third hadith? Hadith of Abu Hurairah. Muttafaqun alayh. Naam, al-Bukhari and Muslim. Tayyib, jayyid. Okay, so this is the third hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, was reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim. Muttafaqun alayh. Yusallimu al-Saghir al-Kabir. Wal-Maru al-Qaid. Wal-Qalil al-Kathir. Muttafaqun alayh. Fourth hadith. Hadith number four. Naam, Talib.
قال يتبعه الميت ثلاثة أكله ماله فعمله فيرجع اثنين فيبقى واحدا يرجع أكله وماله
ويبقى
عمله.
متفق عليه. حديث أنس رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يتبع الميت ثلاثة أهله وماله وعمله فيرجع اثنان ويبقى واحد. يرجع أهله وماله ويبقى عمله. نعم. متفق عليه. Okay, the fifth hadith. Who didn't recite yet? Who said they wanted to participate? موسى. نعم. رواه مسلم. Okay, this is the fifth hadith. Hadith of Uthman رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة. رواه مسلم. Six hadith. Hadith number six. نعم. مصطفى عن this side.
عن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه قال قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
أخذ
حريرا فجعله في يميني وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شمالي ثم قال إن هذين
إن والشدة نعم
okay.
إن هذين
حرام على ذكر أمتي
ذكوري
أمتي.
نعم.
وراه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي.
جيد. This is the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه قال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ حريرا فجعله في يمينه وأخذ ذهبا فجعله في شماله ثم قال إن والشدة يعني التأكيد إن هذين حرام على ذكور أمتي. رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي. And in the narration of Ibn Majah said what? In the narration of Ibn Majah يعني حرام على ذكور أمتي وحل لإناثهم. رواه ابن ماجة. نعم. حديث نمبر نعم 7. مصطفى نمبر 7.
عن أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض جنتي.
نعم. The hadith of Abu Hurairah number 7 رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. متفق عليه. 3 more hadith to go. Hadith of Abi Marthad, hadith of Abdullah ibn Masud, and hadith of Uthman. Number 8. Abi Marthad. نعم. Number 8 is Abi Marthad. Abdullah ibn Masud is
9. عن أبي مرثد الغنوي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها. رواه مسلم.
This hadith number 8, Abi Marthad al-Ghanawi radiyallahu anhu قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول in the plural لا تصلوا إلى الكبور ولا تجلسوا عليها. رواه مسلم. Hadith number 9. Hadith number 9. طالب.
رضي الله عنه
قال عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سألت
رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم
أي عمل أحب إلى الله قال الصلاة على وحدها
نعم
قلت دوم أي قال بر والدين قلت دوم أي الجهاد في سبيل الله
نعم الحديث عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال he said سألت I asked رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله قال يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم answered him by saying what يعني الصلاة على وقتها قلت ثم أي after that then what and he said بر والدين قلت ثم أي after that then what he said الجهاد في سبيل الله حديث متفق عليه. Last حديث I want to take today of review. نعم فايز.
عن عثمان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه.
Now the last حديث حديث number 10 for today's review. Next week we'll start with 11 through whatever we covered. حديث عثمان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه رواه البخاري. Okay, this is a quick review and it is a reminder to us of the importance of review. It's very important that we review in order to retain what we have learned. Whatever you have learned, you have to review it. Whatever you have memorized, you have to review it. Okay, for today's hadith, we're going to quickly move right on, right along. The hadith for today is hadith number 15. On page 36 of our notes, Arabic lessons in Hadith level 2, Islamic University of Medina, Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu Ashara. Ad-Darsu Al-Khamisu Ashara. 15th lesson. An Aishata. With Fatta. An Aishata. Radiallahu Anha. May Allah be pleased with her. An Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Qal. Kullu Sharabin Askara. فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ This is one of the shortest hadith that we have يعني in this book. And inshallah, everybody should memorize it. It's only 5 words, and it should be easy for us to memorize. يعني this is the hadith, أنا عائشة رضي الله عنها, may Allah be pleased with her, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال, that he said, كُلُّ شَرَابٍ كُلُّ شرابٍ يعني every drink every mashroob everything that is drank I'm going to talk about this meaning also as we go through the discussion of this hadith كل شرابٍ يعني here it means what every drink without exception أسكرا with this description every drink that أسكرا يعني that causes intoxication that causes a person to become intoxicated كل شرابٍ أسكرا يعني it intoxicates a person causes them to lose their يعني ability to think and to see and to distinguish فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ then it is haram يعني every drink which intoxicates as a result of this أَسْكَرَ this is the illah the cause of the reason as a result of this fa therefore هُوَ it is haram forbidden this hadith is مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ means what? Agreed upon by who? Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Again, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كل شراب أسكر Every drink that intoxicates then فهو حرام Then it is forbidden متفق عليه And this hadith Yani, before we go into the questions, it only has 3 points, so we're going to mention those 3 points, and then we're going to look at some other matters related to this hadith. Yani, before we do the exercises. So the first word that came after this hadith, oh, by the way, first, is any question about the hadith itself? Yani, the word kullu means each or every. Sharabin means a drink, that which is drank. Askara is the verb on the pattern, on the fourth wazan of afa'ala, like aslama, aslama yuslimu, askara yuskiru. Same wazan, askara means to intoxicate, to cause yani a person's mind to become cloudy, yani something that covers the mind and causes a person to lose consciousness or awareness and ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Kullu sharabin, every drink that askara intoxicates, Fa is the particle then. Here it means then, as a result of it being intoxicate. Then huwa is the pronoun, third person, masculine, singular. Fahuwa, then it is haram. Yani that which is prohibited by Allah, forbidden, illegal, unlawful, all of those things. Muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon by Bukhari Muslim. Any question about this hadith in terms of the meaning of the words, the vocabulary words? Does everybody understand the meaning of the words, basically? Okay, so let's look.
The hadith is just referring to a drink.
Well, it's not just referring to a drink. We're going to talk about the meaning of the hadith, but here the meaning of this word sharab, it means something that is drank. It's from the verb. Which verb is it from? Whenever I ask for a verb, by now we should be keeping in mind, when I ask for the verb, I want the past tense, and then the present tense. And then the masdar, if you know it. But the past tense and present tense, okay? So the original verb is in the past tense. The original verb that this is from what? Shariba yashrabu. Shariba yashrabu, okay? It means to drink. So a sharab is a drink. Okay, we'll see that another word for sharab is mashroob as we go through the meaning of the words here in the beginning. Any other word that we want to ask about? طيب. Okay, so underneath the hadith, kullu sharab askara fahu aram. It says ash-sharab, that's the first word they gave us. What is ash-sharab? Al-mashroob. What is al-mashroob? It's the ism fa'il, maf'ul, the ism maf'ul, ism maf'ul from the verb shariba yashrabu, or yushrabu, passive form. Okay? Mashroob is ism fa'il wazn. It means that the thing that the action of the verb happened to. Okay, ism fa'il is the one who does the action. Sharib, ism maf'ul, the one that the action happened to. Mashroob. Okay, like katib is the ism fa'il, the one who writes. And maktoob is that which is written. So here the ism fa'il would be, from the verb that we're talking about, it would be sharib, one who drinks. And the mashroob, the thing that has been drank. Okay, so mashroob, this is the meaning of sharab, it means mashroob. It's an ism maf'ul, on the pattern of maf'ul, mashroob. The second expression they gave us is askarathu al-khamru. Askarathu al-khamru. This is from, the third word in the hadith, kullu sharabin askara. And here they gave us this expression, from askara, the feminine form of the third person singular, askara, askarat, askarat hu. It intoxicated him. What intoxicated him? Al-khamru. It caused him to become intoxicated. Al-khamru. That is, ja'alathu sakran. It caused him to become sakran, means a person who's drunk, intoxicated. So the khamr caused him to become drunk, to become intoxicated. Sakran, is on the wazn fa'lan, like ghadban, atshan, ta'ban, sakran. Tayyib, ja'alathu sakran, A means what? That is, A, ذهب أقله وإدراكه. What do we mean جعلته سكران? It means ذهب أقله, his intellect left him, he lost his intellect. وإدراكه, and likewise his إدراك, his ability to discern, discernment. His intellect, his mind left him, and his ability to discern also left him. That's what we mean by sakran. It made him sakran. It means that it took his intellect, his aql, and his idrak. As far as this verb askara, it says wal mudari yuskiru. The present tense form is yuskiru, and the ism fa'il, the noun that's on the pattern of the wazn of fa'il, the one who does the action, is muskirun. Okay, again, this is the fourth form verb, from af'ala. So just like we say askara yuskiru, we say aslama yuslimu, amana yu'minu. Same pattern like this, okay? So the ism fa'il from Askara is Muskir, like the ism fa'il from Aslama is what? Muslim. The ism fa'il from Amana is what? Mu'min. Naam. So this one, Muskir. Yani, the ism fa'il is Muskir, meaning the one or the thing that causes a person to become intoxicated. Okay, here, I just want to stop for a minute. Any question about this? Sharab means mashroob. Askaratu al-khamr means it made him sakran. That is, it caused his intellect and his discernment to go away. Any question about these three words or these expressions? Anything that's not clear concerning this? Before we look at a very important point related to this hadith. Naam. Yes?
Yusrab?
Naam. Yusrab.
Making someone intoxicated?
No. Maybe I was going a little bit quickly. I was saying that mashroob, the ism fa'il, yani it is from the passive form of the verb. Yani the passive form of the verb, yani yushrab. Naam. Yeah. Yeah, but yushrab, it means yani something was drank. That it was drank. Yani this is the verb form. Something was drank. The noun form is mashroob, the thing that was drank, the ism fa'il. Okay, shariba means to drink. Doesn't mean intoxicant. Yani in America, if they say have a drink, they don't mean a Pepsi, right? They mean have a glass of wine or some intoxicating alcohol, right? But drink doesn't mean alcohol. Doesn't mean intoxicant. It means drinking water or juice, whatever, milk, huh? So yushrab means yani something that is being drank, it's being consumed. Yushrab.
By some other.
Naam. But it's not, we're not mentioning who did the drinking, we're just saying it is being drank. It's in the process of being consumed by drinking. Naam. Okay. Here, like I said, I wanna yani go a little bit and look at just briefly a brief meaning of this hadith, but more importantly I wanna look at some of the narrations yani of hadith that are similar in meaning from the same topic as this hadith that we have under discussion here. Okay, so I'm looking here in Nail al-Altar, the explanation of one of the books of hadith, and a famous explanation of a book of hadith by Al-Imam al-Shawkani. In Nail al-Altar, he mentions a hadith that is our hadith, but in another narration in Bukhari, it came with the reasoning behind this statement being made by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so we're going to look at what was the occasion on which this statement was made? So there's another narration in Bukhari. Yani this narration here is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. There's another narration in Bukhari that Al-Imam al-Shawkani mentions. An Aisha taqalat radiyallahu anha su'ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an al-bita'i. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam su'ila. He was asked. He was questioned about البطعي وهو نبيذ العصلي. And what is بطعي? It is the نبيذ, the drink that comes from عصل. يعني comes from what?
Honey.
Comes from honey. يعني if you take honey and you put it with water, right, and stir it up, the drink is called نبيذ. نبيذ. And some people translate نبيذ as wine, and in the dictionary it may say that, but نبيذ is not wine. نبيذ is a drink that's made from water and honey. If it's left to ferment, it might turn into wine then. But nabidh is not wine itself. Okay, so here, yani the Prophet ﷺ was asked about al-bita'i wa huwa nabidh al-asl. Yani it is the drink that comes from mixing water with honey. And if it is left, it becomes an intoxicant. So the Prophet ﷺ, yani he was asked about this. And then in the narration, this narration from this, kana ahlul yamin yashrabunahu. And the people of Yemen used to drink it. For what? For intoxicant. They used to let it ferment until it became intoxicating, and then they would drink it. So the Prophet ﷺ, being aware of this, he said to them, كُلُّ شَرَابٍ أَسْكَرَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ كُلُّ شَرَابٍ أَسْكَرَ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. Yani every drink, if it intoxicates, that's the key. If you drink it before it becomes intoxicant, no problem. But here he said what? كُلُّ شَرَابٍ أَسْكَرَ. Yani that intoxicates, فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. This is the origin of this statement, our hadith number 15 today. It came on the occasion of what? The Prophet ﷺ being asked a question about a certain drink, bit'i, and he said, yani, knowing that the people use this for intoxicating, then he said, every drink that intoxicates, whatever it may be, whether it's bit'i or other than that, if it intoxicates, all of it is haram. After this, Al-Imam al-Shawkani mentions four or five other narrations. I want to quickly mention them. I wrote some of them on the board here just as a reminder to us, and so we can see them. The first one that he mentions after this is the hadith, and he mentions from different sahaba. He mentions the hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullu muskirin khamrun." Every thing that intoxicates, every muskir, that's the ism fa'il from Askara, everything that intoxicates is a khamr. Whatever name they call it, if it intoxicates, it's khamr. وَكُلُّ مُسْكِرْ حَرَامٍ. And everything that intoxicates is haram. This hadith is reported by Al-Jama'ah, except Bukhari and Ibn Majah, meaning it was reported by five of the seven that are known as Jama'ah. Imam Shawkani and others refer to them, yani meaning Imam Muslim, Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah, not Ibn Majah, and Nasai. Yani all of them narrated this hadith, including Al-Imam Muslim. The second narration that he mentions is, or he mentions that in the narration of Muslim, the wording is, kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu khamrin haram. Notice the difference between these two narrations. The first one he said, kullu muskirin khamrun wa kullu muskir haram. In the narration of Muslim, said, kullu muskir khamrun. Everything that intoxicates is khamr, wa kullu khamrin haram. Every khamr is haram. Everything that intoxicates is a khamr, and every khamr is haram. That's how it came in Sahih Muslim. After this, he narrated the narration of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, give me a ruling concerning two drinks that the people in Yemen used to make, and one of them is al-Bit'i. He said, that is the drink that's made from honey, and the other one is al-Mizru, and it is the one that's made from barley and corn. And they used to let it sit until it became very strong, meaning until it what? Fermented and became intoxicating. فَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ قَدْ أَعَتِهِ جَوَامِ الْكَلِمِ بِخَوَاتِمِهِ فَقَالَ. So here, yani the narrator of the hadith says, the Prophet had been given comprehensive speech, yani where he can say something very comprehensive in just a few words. And he said, كُلُّ مُسْكِرْ حَرَامٌ. كُلُّ مُسْكِرْ حَرَامٌ. In this narration, yani of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu muskir haram." Everything that intoxicates is haram. And this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the last one that I want to mention is the hadith of Jabir, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Yemen, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sa'ala Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam an sharab yashrabunahi bi ardihim min dhurra. Yeah, and he asked about a drink that the people, that was made from corn, that the people in his land used to drink, and it's called Mizru. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Muskirun huwa?" Is it an intoxicant? Yani, does it cause people to become intoxicated? He said, "Yes." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullu muskirin haramun." Again, this narration came, yani, from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and it also came from Jabir. Yani, everything that intoxicates is haram. And then, yani, the Prophet ﷺ went on to explain that there's an oath or contract between Allah and the people that whoever drinks intoxicants, they're going to be drinking something very nasty in the hellfire, the pus or the sweat of the people of hellfire. They will be drinking from it. And then there's also a narration from Abu Huraira with the same meaning, kullu muskir haram, that's reported by Al-Imam Ahmed. And there are other narrations. There are a lot of narrations. Al-Imam al-Shawkani, Nailu Alta, in this chapter, he mentions a lot of these narrations from each companion. What was the hadith that he heard from the Prophet that has this meaning, that every intoxicant is haram? And in the commentary in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, it is mentioned, قَوْلُهُ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ. I just want to mention this briefly, and then we're going to go on to the exercises. The statement in our hadith, يعني كل شراب كل شراب أسكر فهو حرام. It says فهو حرام ظاهره شرب قليل كل مسكر يعني ظاهره شرب قليل كل مسكر كثيره يعني meaning that it is haram يعني whether a person drank a little bit of it that a lot of it intoxicates if he drank a little bit of it it's still haram يعني meaning if a person drank a drink that a drinking a lot of it intoxicates then even drinking a little bit of it is haram even if they didn't drink enough to become intoxicated drinking a little bit of it is also haram أسكر أم لم يسكر if it intoxicated him or it didn't intoxicate him still haram and this has been reported clearly in the narration of Abu Dawud and Nasai and others besides them and this is the madhab of Al-A'imma Al-Thalatha and Muhammad min Ashabina yani from the yani Maliki school yani Al-A'imma Al-Thalatha he means by them he means Al-Imam who? Al-Imam Malik because this is his Maliki the person who's speaking Al-Imam, he's giving the commentary on Muwatta of Imam Malik Al-Imam Malik Al-Imam Ahmed Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i. Okay, so the Imam that's left out from this position here is Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He said this, that a drink, which if a person drinks a little bit of it, even though they didn't become intoxicated, but if they drink a lot of it, they will become intoxicated, then even drinking a little bit is haram. Whether they became intoxicated or not, is still haram. And this is the madhab of the three imams other than Abu Hanifa, yani Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Shafi, and Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah. This is the opinion of the majority of the scholars, the Jumhur. And then he mentions, yani here, that some of the other scholars, yani, held the opinion that khamr is that which is the, yani, wine that's made from grapes. That khamr, yani some of the scholars held this opinion, which is not correct. Yani, some of the scholars held the opinion that khamr is that which is made from grapes, and a little bit of it is haram if a lot of it intoxicates you. Even a little bit is haram. They held this opinion that this is in reference to the wine that's made from grapes only, to the exclusion of other intoxicants. For those other intoxicants, they held this view. They are only haram if a person drinks enough to become intoxicated from it. And here the Shaykh, he says, وَهُوَ أَمْرٌ تُخَالِفُ الْحَدِيثَ الصَّحِيحَ الصَّرِيحَ عَلَى مَا يَخْفَى عَلَى مَاهِرُ الْفَنِ يعني this is something that is not hidden, is clear and known to the people who know about this science, يعني the science of hadith, that what, that this opinion, that this, يعني that it's only applicable to wine that's made from grapes, that is that if you drink a little bit of it, it's haram, even though it didn't intoxicate you. He said this opinion is contradictory to al-ahadith al-sahiha al-sariha. Yani the hadith that are sahiha, authentic, and sariha, clear. Clear, authentic hadith. So the correct opinion is that anything that intoxicates in a large amount is also forbidden to be drunk even in a small amount, even if the person became intoxicated from it or did not become intoxicated from it. Okay, so there's another point that I want to make, but for now, let's go to the exercises and then we'll come back to this hadith for fear that we might run out of time. Alright, for fear that we're going to run out of time, we'll come back, inshallah, to the discussion of this hadith. Okay, so on page 36, the page where the hadith first came, after the three grammatical points that are made, we have the munakasha, the discussion concerning this hadith, and there are two short sections of questions. The first section, Ajib Amma Ya'ati, answer what follows. Yani, this is the first set of questions on the bottom of page 36. Kullu muskirin haram, udhkur hadithan fi hadhal ma'ana. Yani, everything that intoxicates is haram. Mention a hadith with this meaning. Somebody mention a hadith with this meaning. Now, Musa.
An Aisha radiallahu anha, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu sharabin askara fahu haram.
Naam, an Aisha radiallahu anha, yani Aisha radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kullu sharabin askara fahu haram. Does anybody know any other hadith that has the same meaning? Another hadith that has the same meaning? Yeah, the ones on the board, right? Any one of those hadith. يعني the one that we just got finished discussing ما أذكر كثيره فقليله حرام ما أذكر كثيره فقليله حرام or the last one is the easiest one كل مسكر حرام يعني this is the easy one that we can learn along with this hadith كل مسكر حرام the second نعم all of these hadith are narrated from different companions. Yani we mentioned from Nail al-Auta the narrators of the hadith, yani from Abu Hurairah, from Jabir, from Abu Musa al-Ashari and others. All of them narrated hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are not the same hadith, but they have the same meaning. They are not the same hadith, but they have the same general meaning. Some of them have some indications that are beyond what we see in this hadith being clearly mentioned, like ما أذكر كثيره فقليله حرام. يعني that gives us a clear meaning of this hadith that not only is every intoxicant haram, but even if you drink a little bit of it, if a lot of it would make you intoxicated, even if you didn't become intoxicated, you just drunk a little, it's still haram also. نعم.
Does it include, for instance, some Muslims have alcohol, a little bit of alcohol?
Yeah, Muslims shouldn't consume يعني anything that contains an intoxicant, except that they have no substitute. And it's a necessity for them to use it like some kind of medicine that it's a necessity that they have to take it and there's no substitute for it, then that's different. And that's different. In any case, we should avoid it as best we can. We should avoid it. Yani, most of the time, if you go to a doctor, you go to the hospital and they prescribe something for you, if you tell them that you're Muslim and you can't use any kind of medication that has alcohol or whatever, such and such and so on, so usually there's a substitute for it. And there has been for years, but because nobody asked, then they didn't tell. If you didn't ask, then they didn't tell you. They just give it to you. And they know. Because especially in a city like this, where there are a lot of Muslims, they know that Muslims don't use intoxicants, they don't take anything, they don't consume anything that has alcohol in it. But most of them won't tell you. Okay, so this is the first question. The second question, أكمل الحديث كل شراب. Complete this hadith. Now.
أكمل الحديث أقول شرابا
شرابا with a long vowel
أكثر
أسكر
أسكر أسكر أسكر حرام
فهو حرام فهو حرام كل شراب أسكر فهو حرام question number 3 من الصحابي الذي روى هذا الحديث يعني the hadith كل شراب أسكر who is the صحابي نعم نسيه
عن عائشة
نعم عائشة رضي الله عنها هي الصحابية التي روات هذا الحديث and the second part of the question ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه من المحدث الذي أخرجه who is the scholar of hadith that collected it that brought it forth نعم مصطفى on this side yeah. البخاري الإمام البخاري والإمام المسلم الشيخان طيب the second set of questions there are just two questions B second set يعني question number one ما معنى الشراب what is the meaning of the question what is the meaning of الشراب نعم what is the meaning نعم
معناها مشروب
معناها مشروب يعني the meaning of شراب is مشروب يعني الشراب is that which is drank. Second question أدخل أذكر في جملة مفيدة أدخل means what?
Enter.
To enter, to use the word أذكر, the verb أذكر, past tense verb أذكر, to use it in a جملة مفيدة. What do we mean by جملة مفيدة? A meaningful sentence, يعني a complete يعني literally a beneficial sentence, but what we mean by meaningful meaning a complete sentence that has a مبتدأ and a خبر or it has a فعل and فعل مفعول and be a complete sentence. Okay, somebody use it in a sentence other than the hadith. نعم. نعم, مصطفى.
خمر شراب أسكر.
يعني, listen to what you said. الخمر شراب. That's a sentence, right?
Right.
And then you came with a verb. أسكر.
وهو أسكر.
طيب, يعني. Try to use a verbal sentence.
أسكر
أذكر
كثير أذكر ماء أفيد
أذكر ماء
نعم
ماء
نعم
is beneficial. Askara means to intoxicate. Naam. You have one?
Askara ar-rajul ar-rajula al-khamru.
Askara ar-rajula al-khamru. Yani askara ar-rajula al-khamru. Al-khamru is the?
Fa'il.
And the fa'il is askara. Khamra is the fa'il. And the maf'ul in B is? Ar-rajula. Askara الرجل الخمر وأذكر الخمر الرجل same meaning. نعم. Okay. Any question about the meaning of this hadith? First, the يعني grammatical structure of the sentence. يعني this sentence. What kind of sentence do we have here? What kind of sentence is this? This is the basic question. Huh? A جملة فعلية. جملة اسمية. This is a basic question. What kind of sentence is it? It's either جملة فعلية or جملة اسمية. If it begins with a fi'l, it's a fi'liya. If it begins with an ism, it's ismiya. If it begins with a noun, kullu sharabin askara fahuwa haram. Kullu is the mubtada or the khabar. Mubtada. And sharabin is? Khabar? Mudafun ilayhi. Kullu is the mubtada and sharabin is the mudafun ilayhi. And askara is a fi'l, Yani this askara here is as a knot for ask, yani for kullu sharab. What kind of sharab? The sharab that is muskir. Fahuwa haram, then huwa haram. Yani this sentence huwa haram is the khabar. Yani kullu sharab in askara, fahuwa haram. Fahuwa haram. Okay, in any case, this is a small hadith, yani few in words, great in meaning. Very, very important. If the people understood and accepted what the Prophet ﷺ have said here, then a lot of people, families, societies would be saved from destruction, from ruin, from corruption. I just want to mention in reference to the meaning of this hadith, just quickly now. You have something?
No. Most of the bread we use vinegar to pop it or make it. Most of
that bread. So vinegar is not khamr. Yani it could become if it is, yani if it ferments. But vinegar is not khamr.
Red vinegar also?
I don't know about red vinegar. I'm not a cook, but anyway, if something intoxicates, then we shouldn't use it. If we know that it intoxicates, we shouldn't use it. There are some discussions concerning yani something, its nature is changed, yani it's transformed from one yani physical yani state to another state. That's a different discussion. But in general, if we know that something is an intoxicant, in its present state, it intoxicates, then we shouldn't use it. Okay, just quickly, I want to take a couple of minutes to go back to look at the meaning of this hadith. And I want to mention here that this hadith, as we said earlier, it came in one narration in Bukhari explaining that it was a response to a question where the Prophet ﷺ was asked about a particular drink that was made from honey. If it's left for a long period of time, it ferments and becomes an intoxicant. And the Prophet ﷺ said that kullu shurabin askara fahuwa haram. As far as the meaning of this hadith, and I'm reading from Manar al-Qari, an explanation of the mukhtasar summary of Sahih al-Bukhari, and it says that the meaning of this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ was asked about a drink called bitar, yani, and it was yani a drink that was made from water and honey. And he responded by saying this statement. Yani he said that his answer was Jawab Am Shamil. And he was general and it was all inclusive. Yani in these few words, Kullu Sharabin Askara fahu haram. A La Ibrata bi ikhtilaf al asma. Wala bi ikhtilaf madatihi al ula alati yu'takhidh minha. فكل شراب أسكر فهو خمر محرم من أي نوع أخذ. يعني here he says there's no لا إبرة باختلاف الأسماء ولا باختلاف مادته الأولى. It doesn't matter what name they call it. They call it bitter. They call it something else. Whatever name they call it, wine, liquor, spirits, whatever. Doesn't matter. This is not what we are concerned about. What name is called? Nor the madda. Yani the original substance that it came from. Did it come from barley, from wheat, from raisins, from dates, from honey? Doesn't matter what it came from. But what we are concerned about here is what? Is it an intoxicant? So every drink that intoxicates, it is khamr. Huh? Kullu muskir khamrun. Everything that intoxicates, that's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that intoxicates is khamr. So he's saying here that what we are concerned about is not the name nor the matter, the original matter that it was made from, but we were concerned about the point of intoxicating. If it intoxicates, then it's khamr, no matter what it is made from. And this is from the comprehensive speech of the Prophet ﷺ and the beauty of his clarification of the issues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani commissioned him to deliver to the people. From the fiqh of this hadith, he says this hadith indicates the following. Number one, that all alcoholic drinks that intoxicate are haram absolutely, no matter what type it is, no matter what substance it's made from. Because the illah, the cause of it being haram, yani the cause of the tahrim, is al-iskar, the fact that it intoxicates. The fact that it intoxicates. So every type of alcoholic drink that intoxicates, no matter what type it is, no matter what substance it's made from, if it has this yani factor in it, that it intoxicates, then it's haram. And this is indicated from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ under discussion, that every intoxicating drink is haram, or every drink that intoxicates is haram. It doesn't matter if it's made from dates, from barley, from honey, from raisins, from figs, whatever. Yani, if it intoxicates, then it is haram. And this is, yani, whether a person drank a little bit of it or a lot of it. Because the hadith, yani, mentions this statement, على الإطلاق, yani absolutely everything that intoxicates is haram. And it also mentions it in a general sense, yani عموماً, yani it mentions it in both ways. And here the Shaykh gives a long explanation, but I'm going to be brief and summarize it for the sake of time. He says that إطلاقه is cooking with wine haram. No, of course. Cooking with wine is haram. No. I mean, by wine we mean an intoxicant, right? So every intoxicant is haram. Yani it's haram to drink it, it's haram to eat it, it's haram to sell it, to buy it, to benefit from it in any way, all of it is haram. Now, okay, we're going to come to that now. We're going to come to that now, and then we're going to close with this, right? This is the point that we're coming to right now. Okay, so what's being said here is that, yani the itlaq of the hadith, the meaning of the hadith itlaqan, is that whether it's a small amount or a great amount, what if it intoxicates, that it's haram. The general meaning of the hadith, is that every intoxicant, any intoxicant, even if it's not a drink, because the illah of tahrim here is iskar, intoxicating, the factor of intoxicating. And this is from the general meaning of this hadith, that yani it includes everything that comes under this meaning, the meaning of intoxicating. And for this reason, yani I'm summarizing here now, for this reason, yani it's mentioned here that, for example, he mentions hashish. And we can say crack cocaine, or we can say whatever else, I don't know what they're using these days. Yani whatever, heroin, huh? K2. What is that?
K2.
Whatever. All of this, if they intoxicate, whether they are drink or not, it's haram. Yani this is from the general meaning of the hadith. And then he mentions a number of scholars from amongst them, as Sana'ani. He said that everything that intoxicates, no matter what is made from, is haram. Even wa in lam yakun mashruban, even if it's not a drink. Kal hashishi. Yani like this substance, which is not a drink, but it's haram. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajjah says, whoever says that something which intoxicates is not haram, then he said, then this person, yani, has deviated. Yani is in error. And also, it's mentioned what? That He said, قال العراقي and Ibn Taymiyyah, there's ijma consensus of the scholars of Islam على تحريم الحشيشة. يعني that this substance, which is not a drink, there's consensus among the scholars of Islam that this is haram. وأن من استحلها كفرا. And whoever declared it to be halal has fallen into kufr. يعني even though this substance is not a drink, but the scholars of Islam are in agreement that it's haram. Why? Because the illah, the cause of the prohibition, is the iskar, the intoxicating factor. So anything that intoxicates, then it is haram. And then the final point that I want to make, because we're actually almost out of time, we have like 2 minutes remaining. I just want to make one last point from Taysir al-Alam, the Sharf Umdat al-Ahkam. Yani Sheikh Abdullah Ali Bassam, he mentions in his explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam under another hadith that's related to our subject, and I want to mention it because of the benefit of what he mentions here. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He said it had reached Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu that so-and-so, such a person, was selling khamr. And he said, قاتل الله فلان, may Allah destroy him, so-and-so, who's selling khamr. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ. Didn't he know that the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ, قَاتَلَ اللَّهِ الْيَهُودِ, may Allah destroy, kill, destroy the Jews. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الشُّهُومِ فَجَمِلُوهَا فَبَعُوهَا. يعني, the fat of the animal was made forbidden for them. So what did they do? They melted it down and then they sold the melted substance. يعني, they changed this form as a form of trickery to escape from that which is haram, and they sold it to benefit from it. Okay? And the point is that this hadith is a proof of what? Yani, first of all, the hadith that's mentioned here, that may Allah destroy the Jews because the fat of the animal was made forbidden for them, so they melted it down and sold it. This hadith is a proof of the fact that if something has been made haram, benefiting from it is haram. Not just the consumption of it, the buying, selling, or utilizing it anyway, all of that is haram. Okay, so Umar used that hadith, he used that hadith in reference to the Jews, he used it in reference to what? Khamr. Yani that it's haram to sell it. So the point here that we want to make is what? It's not just haram to drink it, to eat it in our food, it's also haram to benefit from it in any way, buying, selling, or otherwise. And this is a summary of some of the points, many, many points. I don't know, it says hookah is a flavored tobacco that many says doesn't intoxicate for that reason. I don't even know what hookah is, but somebody else wrote here, shisha pipe. I don't really know what this thing is, but yes, it, help us, brother.
It's a tobacco, it's like smoking cigarettes, it's worse than smoking cigarettes. If you look at something behind it, so it's still be haram. And I've read on the matter what scholars have said, they said completely haram because it hurts the body, no benefit.
Okay, so in other words, Waleed is benefiting us here, saying that what some of the scholars said, that it's completely haram due to the harm that it caused to the human being. And we know anything that caused harm to the human being is forbidden, even if it doesn't intoxicate. Even if it doesn't intoxicate. And we know that early on, 50 years ago maybe, many of the scholars of Islam said smoking, regular smoking, not this stuff which is worse than cigarette tobacco, that they said, many of the scholars said that it's makruh. But after they came to see the harm that the consumption or the use of tobacco caused to the human being, then they unanimously agreed that smoking cigarettes is haram, smoking pipes, cigars, hookah, whatever, however, how do they say that word?
Like that, how they translate
to
like
their
English, hookah.
Hookah. Okay, so it's haram. No, hold it. I can't do it. Because right now, yani, we're at the end of the time, right? It's 1:30, and I want to give the hadith for next week. But in any case, if somebody has a question about this, we can talk about it on another occasion. But I just want to give the hadith for next week before we leave, because last week we didn't have a chance to mention this. The next hadith. Next hadith is hadith number 16 on page 37. The hadith of Anas, yani that is Anas ibn Malik, an Anas radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yuhibba, with fatta, li akhihi ma yuhibbu, with dhamma, li nafsihi. Yani Anas radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, la yu'minu ahadukum, no one of you believes, yani no one of you has complete and perfect iman, hatta, until yuhibba, he loves li akhihi, for his brother or sister, ma yuhibbu, لنفسه, what he loves for himself. No one of you will have complete and perfect iman until you love for your fellow Muslim, يعني the brother, love for your brother in Islam, sister, love for sister in Islam, until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And in another narration with the same meaning of this hadith, it mentions من خيرٍ, يعني that you love for your brother what you love for yourself of good, not that you love for your brother what you love for yourself of evil. يعني you love to get intoxicated, so you love for your brother the same thing? No. يعني of good. Whoever, يعني you're not a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this hadith is muttafaqun alayh, this next week's hadith. And inshallah, in the beginning of the class next week, we're going to begin with reviewing the second half of the hadith of this book, starting from number 11.